Good afternoon. I'm Jamila Erickson. Welcome now to the Midday Interview. Something wonderful is happening in Wilmington on Saturday. It's called the Fly Trap Frolic, and I have two wonderful folks here to tell you all about it, Diana Corbett and Dr. Phil Garwood. You know him as Dr. Rock. So first of all, thank you both for coming.
Thank you.
Now we're going to speak in unison constantly. Love you, Sylvie.
Oh, I like this. Wonderful. All right. Now, this is a free family event happening Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon at the famous or infamous Carnivorous Plant Trail behind Alderman Elementary School on Independence Boulevard. Tell us about the event. Now, in tandem, go for it, you guys.
Okay, a long time ago. what we're working on. Diane's done all the work. I'm just going to get some of the, you know, the credit and standing ovations and so on. My job is more of an educational thing that we're doing out there. A lot of my elves will be there helping other people identify the different carnivorous plants. And in the near future, I'll be collaborating with Mr. Reeder on the absolute definitive study of the Venus flytraps and why they evolved here. I think we have found the answer. And it's such a unique place. I take my students there all the time. In fact, that's how I met up with Diane again, is at the flytrap. And she was the first person I ever met when I came to Wilmington. And now she will tell you the cultural side.
The flytraps are a point of pride for southeastern North Carolina because they only grow within 90 miles of Wilmington. And so at the North Carolina Coastal Land Trust, we are very proud to have a conservation easement on the Stanley Reeder Carnivorous Plant Garden. That dedication will be Friday. But anyway, it's a chance for us to showcase the flytraps, the pitcher plants, the sundews, and also the bladderworts, the carnivorous plants that will be there.
Now, Dr. Reeder, Stanley Reeder, how is it that his name is being used in the dedication of this garden? What is his connection to this?
Several years ago, Stanley Reeder approached Hugh McCrae to see if he could actually use this bowl area. It had non-nutritious soil, and he said, you know what, it is just the perfect place to have and to host all these carnivorous plants, especially flytraps. So for the next years, he would transplant 100,000 flytrap seeds in this area and grow them. He would create new pitcher plants and new subspecies. Phil can probably talk a lot more about that, but it has just become an oasis out there. And right now, thank goodness, they're all in bloom. The flytrap should be in bloom with little white flowers by Saturday morning.
Wow.
The blooms are incredible. I've been taking my students out there for the last month, and a few of the students who will be there are doing a cataloging of all the different. And one student, I think she may have found a species that doesn't belong there, and she's so excited because normally you don't see them north of Georgia. So it's such an educational experience. Every time that I've gone there over the last many, many years, I've met someone there that is interested in these. One time several years ago, there were two gentlemen from Central Africa.
Oh, my goodness.
Standing there. So they came up to me and asked what I was doing. I told them, and they asked if they could join my class. I said, absolutely. And they had flown all the way from near Lake Victoria in Central Africa here just to see the flytraps. And they were both university professors from a university in Central Africa. It was just amazing to them. They had read about them, but they had never seen them before.
Isn't
other than
something?
Pictures.
We shouldn't take them for granted.
Oh,
they are very rare.
You should not take them either. There's a $500 fine. This is a protected species.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, by the state. I believe it is also the state
plant or
mm-hmm. protected flower. It's just what makes this part of the world unique. These guys decided this is where they're going to evolve. And there's very little known about them. How long ago this happened? What were the reasons for them? I've got the answers.
And why they're here instead of somewhere else.
That's right. Because there are similar soils in China. There are similar soils all over the southeastern United States. There are similar soils in Australia. There are similar conditions throughout the world. And this is where they evolved. And we talk about that in my historical geology class, the evolution of different animals and species and so on. And each student this year had to do a one-page paper on why they think they evolved here. And I said, no Wikipedia. What I want you to do is you to tell me what you think. And aliens, fine. If you want to say they were cast down from squirrels in the tree, then tell me. But tell me how it worked. And I got some great, great answers.
Wonderful.
And the publication we're going to be putting forth will contain some of these. And then I also asked a bunch of little kids over at the Friends School, and so I've got some of their ideas, too.
Now, you're going to be spending some time with the elementary students at Alderman, aren't you, on Friday?
Oh, absolutely. I love going and talking to the younger kids because those are little, and I never remember that name, and they always tell me Sponge Pants Bob.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, whatever that guy's name is. And you know,
SpongeBob SquarePants.
Him. They're all these little sponges, and you put a little seed in there, and they're away with it. And once they do that, and once they learn that their idea is just as valid as everybody else's, they're just so happy and they run with it. And I love it.
If you're just joining us, I'm talking with Dr. Rocks, Dr. Phil Garwood from Cape Fear Community College, also Diana Corbett from the North Carolina Coastal Land Trust, all about Fly Trap Frolic. It is a free family fun event. Is that enough F's for you? On Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon. There is also a dedication of that carnivorous plant garden behind Alderman Elementary School on Independence Boulevard. Mention a little bit about the dedication, if you would, Diana, and then we'll talk about what events are happening on Saturday.
Great, thank you. The dedication will occur at 1:30 on Friday, April 27th. The MC is our own Bob Townsend from WECT. We're excited that he is going to be joining us. We've got speakers, the mayor, Bill Sappho, Bob Maxey, who is the principal from Alderman Elementary. We expect some of the other city council members, also New Hanover County Board of Education people there. But primarily, it's going to be a very short dedication, about 30 minutes. It's all to honor Stanley Reeder and his work to make this garden possible.
That's wonderful. Now, what's happening on Saturday?
Saturday is going to be packed full. It's only a three-hour event, 9 until 12 noon, but we've got geocaching, which is fun and interesting in itself. There are two boxes located on the property, and you can download an application for your smartphone, and it's like a worldwide treasure hunt. You can stamp your passport. Speaking of passports, we also have passports created by Nancy Preston from the Coastal Land Trust, and the children, it's educational, as Dr. Rock said. His students will be positioned on the trail. The students, then the little children, or the children of all ages, really, will have their passports, and they go to each different stop to get it checked off. Once they have a completed passport, they bring it back to the children's table to receive a free children's pass to the Children's Museum down here in Wilmington.
Oh, that's great. And there's another tie-in with the Halliburton Park. They're coming with some snakes, yes?
That's exactly Woo-hoo! Right. Andy Fairbanks has agreed to bring, they're non-poisonous, you know, we need to get that out there, the king snakes and also black snakes. So that's a different element.
Wow.
Well, the children love snakes. You know, it's the adults that are a bit squeamish. And whenever I go on a hunt out into the woods with my students, if I see one, I'll pick it up and show them that, you know, they're not going to harm you. They just want to get on their way. And snakes are beautiful, beautiful creatures. It's going to be wonderful to see the children handling them. How about the adults? Let's see what happens there.
We'll let you do that, Phil.
Well, yeah, I'll bring it over to show you.
Something else about the snakes and the pitcher plants and the Venus fly traps.
Oh my!
Think about Think about when you say they're carnivorous plants. What do they eat? Now they don't eat snakes.
No,
unless
they do
maybe
not.
A teeny tiny snake.
They do not. It depends. Two students right now are working on actually a bug count that they're.
They're performing autopsies.
They're doing autopsies on these dead ones and slitting them. And I'll be demonstrating that on Saturday as well. And when I do that for a student, they're amazed at the number of dead bugs at the bottom of these plants. Mm. And beetles are a little bit more difficult to digest. So a lot of the shells are still there, a couple of wings. One of them they found was a complete wasp that hadn't even started to decompose yet. Mm. What happens is, because they can't get enough nutrients out of the soil, they release a pheromone that attracts the bugs. Now, some of them, such as the sundew, release a mucilage, a glue, that attracts the bugs. The bug gets on there, and they have a little bit of a bug narcotic high. Oh, yeah. They're just happy, buzzing around. They get buzzed. And they'll sit on it, and they'll get trapped by this, or they'll go down and get trapped inside the funnel, and then the plant releases a flesh-eating enzyme. that then breaks down the bug, and that's where they get their nutrients from. And it's the only way they could possibly survive. They could not survive under the conditions that are there without bringing in nutrients from living creatures. Right. And they're amazing the way they have adapted.
If this sounds interesting to you, I encourage you to go to the Fly Trap Frolic. It is Saturday morning from 9 to noon at the Carnivorous Plant Garden, named for Stanley Reeder. It is right behind Alderman Elementary School on Independence Boulevard. Dr. Rocks will be there, and Stanley Reeder will be there as well. There'll be geocaching. Dr. Rocks will give a talk. There'll be students there from Kafer Community College showing you around and helping you get your passport stamped if you want to participate in that. So this is a free event. If you want more information about it, you can go to the website coastallandtrust.org. That's for the North Carolina Coastal Land Trust. Or you can call 790-4524. Again, 790-4524, extension 209. That's all we have time for, but thank
That's
you.
It? Thank you. Oh, I have so much more to say.
I know, Dr. Rocks.
Then they better show up Saturday if they want to hear what I've got
to say. Exactly. Either that or we'll give you your own radio show.
I think that has to happen.
All right, good.
I love your regalia today, by the way. Those flytrap dealy boppers are wonderful.
It took me a lot of time to create those. I just wanted to know. And I am exuding pheromones even at this moment to see what happens. So
I see the bugs at the door now.
It's pretty scary. Dr. Rocks, thank you. Diana Corbett, thank you so much. This is WHQR.